Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Clock in Chicago. Jesse Rogers sitting in for Sylvie. It's Waddle and Sylvie here on ESPN 1000. And let's go down to Orlando where the NFL owners meetings are going on. And are you, Courtney, are you at the Four Seasons? Because that's where the baseball owners meetings were. Is that where the NFL is?
No, it's at the Ritz-Carlton JW.
That's
so I guess maybe a little bit of a step below for these billionaires if it's not Four Seasons standard.
I don't know. Ritz, what do you think, Ritz? I think of Ritz better than Four Seasons.
I don't stay at either, so I would not have any perspective that would
Courtney,
be...
you're a world traveler. Four Seasons is above Ritz? I thought it was the other way around.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm qualified to have that conversation. it's a beautiful setting here, and tonight's the league's party that they put on, and media get a chance to co-mingle, and it's fun. It's always a great event, and to watch this event go from like Palm Beach to Phoenix to Orlando, and it rotates every year. It's a nice change of scenery, and it's obviously we didn't get snow there this weekend, but it's a little warmer down here than it is in Chicago.
Courtney, are the Bears still kind of in focus with regard to, you know, all the attention in the league?
Yeah, I think so. Today was the AFC coaches breakfast. So we heard Jim Harbaugh say that J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback in the draft. We heard a little bit about Justin Fields from Mike Tomlin. And Matt Eberflus will talk tomorrow. So I'm sure that nationally the focus will be on television and radio about the Bears there. But Ryan Poles talked today, and I do think it has legs nationally because the Bears now – we know what they're doing at number one. I have no reason to believe that they are trading out of the number one overall pick or even considering maybe a move back. Right now, everything is pointing towards taking a quarterback there and taking Caleb Williams. There's not much intrigue, or rather, I won't use that word. There's not much like surprise that they can do at the top of the draft order because everything, based on their actions, of how many people they sent out to USC's pro day, of the attention and focus that they've placed on Caleb Williams, everything's pointing towards this team taking him there in 1 month from today. And the focus league wide is about the situation that the Bears have and just how rare that is for a number one overall pick to be coming into a team that has really good infrastructure and is ready to take that next step. And across the league now, the question I think shifts away from Chicago in terms of quarterback to what is Washington doing it to? Is it possible that the New England Patriots decide that they want to move back from three and still be able to get their guy? Whereas all signs have been pointing towards Caleb Williams for a while, and I feel like every time we hear from a representative of the Bears, whether it's Ryan Poles and tomorrow Matt Eberflus, that is only going to become more clear as the next 4 weeks go by.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's funny, just in the course of a few weeks, the bigger mystery is now, who do these teams behind the Bears like in terms of the quarterbacks, right? A couple weeks ago was, would it be Fields? Would it be Williams? Now Fields is gone, and everything is pointing to Williams. So the mystery might be behind the number one pick at this point, as the Bears were in the spotlight for so long. Can I go back to one thing, though, you mentioned real quick? We've heard it a few times. Jim Harbaugh is really going to die on this hill about J.J. McCarthy being the best. So you're telling me if the Chargers had the number one overall pick and needed a quarterback, they would take McCarthy over everyone else. Is that what he's trying to tell us?
You know, it's his guy. He's going to pump up guy, and for good reason. I mean, he knows him better than any NFL coach sharing a head coach title. And better than any other front office. I mean, he was with him for all those years at Michigan and developed him into somebody who just won a national championship.
Is that why they ran like 30 straight times in one of those big games?
Would you stop it over there?
Sorry.
Look, Jesse, I get it. I get the rhetoric that's around J.J. McCarthy. I will tell you, there are teams that think that they can – everybody thinks they can be the one to either fix a guy or unleash a guy.
Sure.
And that's how he's viewed around the NFL, which is why the conversation today – that has been floated around is, could Washington really take him number two overall? Now, you're looking at that thinking, what about Jaden Daniels? What about Drake May? When J.J. McCarthy might be the fourth best quarterback by most people's summation in the draft. And maybe it's a smokescreen. Maybe it's just a way to try to drive up the price for teams like Minnesota, maybe the Raiders, other teams further down the draft order that would like to stand put, but also know they probably have to move up if they wanted to get him. And it's that time of year where if the draft order is going to change drastically, it's going to probably end up happening within the next few weeks. We don't often see, especially with the first round, like the draft order changing, like what San Francisco did a couple of years ago, moving up from, what was it, like 12 all the way to 3. That happened in the weeks before the draft. It was the end of March 2021. So this could be a chance where, coming out of owners' meetings, those conversations continue to happen, where we do see some drastic draft order changes from a team like Minnesota that just got another first-round pick to try to move up and secure who they want and not get leapfrogged by another team.
Courtney, let's go back to the Justin Fields trade. Matt, I thought Ryan Poles was very revealing in some of the things he said. Walk us through what you heard from him, including he and Matt Eberflus calling Justin to let him know, and whether or not you think that there was a significantly better offer on the table for Justin at any point in time over the course of the last several weeks.
In my reporting last week, when the trade happened on Saturday, I was told that there was another offer that the Bears were sitting on, and that it was marginally, slightly, whatever other adjective you want to use to illustrate a slight increase in trade value, meaning it would be a pick for this year. But it wasn't like they left a second-round pick, a day-two pick on the table for Justin Fields and did right by him,
right,
and sent him to Pittsburgh for a 6 when they could have gotten more. That would be the byproduct of doing bad business, and that's not how the Bears can operate when they're, you know, trying to make this thing happen in year 3. So to my understanding, and hearing from Poles today, he did confirm there were multiple different teams that had reached out with offers, but it wasn't like there was anything so insanely better than what they got from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I think that just points to the fact that the league views Justin Fields right now as a backup quarterback. And on top of that, everybody knew what the Bears were going to do with the number one overall pick, which meant that they had to move on if they were going to do this right with the right quarterback room. And this is not something that, you know, to your second part of your question, or rather the first part, this is not something that was easy for Ryan Poles. I know that there are a lot of armchair GMs out there on social media who think that these are just, you know, transactional things that you can pull off. But the simple story of him telling us about his son, Mason, having Justin Fields' jersey up in his room, you know, hanging up, you know, one of his favorite players, and having to tell him, hey, I'm going to be trading this guy, that put a lot in perspective for Poles. And of course, delivering that news to Justin himself is not an easy thing. And that's why the two of them, Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, did it together. They were at Flus's house before the news came out publicly last Saturday and let him know what was happening, let him know that, you know, how much they appreciated him. Because let's not forget, they, you know, Justin was put through hell and back,
yes,
in a lot of respects. And that's not lost on Ryan Poles. I know that this is a business, and even Ryan Poles quoted DJ Moore's tweet today about how business is business and guys understand that moves have to happen in order for the team to be put in the best position, but it doesn't mean that that's void of emotion and of you know, empathy that he has for the situation and Justin, you know, not being able to finish out his career right now in Chicago.
You also reported that Poles said that he was a little bit surprised that the market wasn't broader for Justin, or the interest wasn't a little bit greater.
Yeah, and I think that's not surprising because of what I reported last week, that the initial, you know, the baseline of that was the Sam Darnold trade, where you had a 6th in year 1 and then a 2nd and a 4th in year 2. The Bears weren't able to get anything like that. They weren't getting as many bites on Justin as a starter, first and foremost, but even the soft market that was coming in after that for him as a backup was a little surprising for the Bears. And there's a lot of reasons for that. I think that the way that Ryan Poles has spoken about this publicly, I don't know if that necessarily helped their case. Of course, you appreciate someone who's transparent and someone who can be honest through it and just kind of going through it maybe differently than other general managers might is the way they speak about it. There was a lot of transparency here about what the Bears were going to do and why they feel they're in a better situation today than they were, you know, a couple weeks ago when this thing wasn't, you know, didn't happen already. So I think by that idea, like the him being surprised by it, probably reflects accurately in just the conversation that was had about Justin Fields for the last couple of months, and some people thinking that he could be a first round, you know, be worth a first round pick. We heard second round pick. We've heard day two pick. None of those things came to fruition. And, you know, for Ryan Poles forecasting this thing, that was a little bit of a surprise.
And let me say this as someone that's just jumping into this debate periodically, as opposed to the two of you that have been involved in this debate for weeks and months on end.
It's not a debate. Courtney and I were on the right side of this
transaction
all the way around.
Anybody listening to us right now has to understand that rarely do we get an answer to debates. The league answered this debate because this isn't just the Bears' assessment of their quarterback that they moved on from. This is multiple teams and front offices' assessment. Now, they could all be proven wrong. We know that. But in this moment, if you're some big Fields fan, you better wake up and see what the rest of the league has said about it. When Poles could not get more than he got, or very little, you know, maybe a little bit more. But I feel like you can't, like, we have an answer. Yeah. We have an answer. The league has spoken, Courtney.
You're right. And I think since we're, 9 days now removed from the trade, that conversation and those people who were standing on the table for Justin Fields and their vision of what he could be and what he's shown potential to be, maybe those people have come down to reality a little bit and realizing that this incredibly talented, athletic person needs some work. And it's just not going to be in Chicago because of the timing of the whole thing. I think the best way I've described this is that it's like ships passing. It's not anything that Justin Fields did or did not do in the grand scheme of things. And as Poles said today, it wasn't Justin versus a rookie quarterback. Frankly, guys, they ran out of time, and you can't hedge your entire career and entire success of your franchise on holding out hope that Justin Fields is going to be able to put it all together. I think that everybody is probably out of jobs if they went that route with this year. But you're right, Jesse, and this is, I know it's a conversation a lot of people did not want to have, but the league tells you what they think of players by their actions and their inactions, and the inaction here was more of an indictment on how Justin Fields presents to teams 3 years into his NFL career.
Yeah, I agree. And I said to Jesse earlier, Courtney, I think that the financial part of it is part of the equation, but I don't believe that
it absolutely is.
Yeah, no doubt. But you don't move away from one quarterback for another one unless you believe the one you're drafting can take you somewhere that the existing guy can't. Like, I think that that was also Ryan Poles trying to do right by Justin and say, look, there was a financial component to this decision as well.
And that's what he said today, that you got to, like, the guy that they bring in has to be the reason they win games. Mm-hmm. 10 wins in three seasons was just not going to cut it to where this team is right now, because you're not bringing, like, if they didn't have the number one overall pick, I don't think we're talking about a quarterback trade. I think Justin Fields gets year four and we'd see about the fifth year option, whatever. But this is a team that needs to go in a different direction with a roster that feels ready made to take a jump. And the best way for them to do that in their eyes is with a rookie quarterback with the number one overall pick, by resetting the rookie clock and continuing, you know, if all goes well, you're winning with somebody who's inexpensive for the time being. When that flips, that's usually the sign of, hey, we won a lot of games. We've got to pay our quarterback. And it's all, a lot of it's cap balancing beyond just the projection of talent at the quarterback position.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Ryan also talked about extensions. If you're reading the tea leaves, was he talking not just only about Keenan Allen, but maybe DJ Moore in a cryptic fashion as well?
Yeah, absolutely, because he talked about how intentional he wants to be with extensions and the timing of them. And, you know, his track record will show that stuff has played out where, you know, he gets Montez Sweat done before he ever takes a snap, intentionally had to do that, because you do not let that guy hit free agency. You don't let him go out there without a new contract and get hurt. And I know at the time it felt like, okay, like they didn't get a deal done for Jalen Johnson back at the trade deadline. Well, they ended up doing it, and they made him one of the highest paid cornerbacks currently playing. Like, he did right by his guys. And when it comes to DJ Moore, I had an interview with him at the end of the season where he told me he wants to play in Chicago in at least 5 more years and maybe even retire here. Those comments are, that's music to the Bears' ears. They're finally in a spot where, you know, the guys want to play here. They're not just filling up the roster with 1 year, 2 year guys who don't, you know, aren't part of the future plan. They actually have the benefit of having players on the roster who are the building blocks for this team, the foundation of this team. And I wouldn't be surprised if DJ, if they get a deal done with DJ beforehand. Now, I'm not reporting that that's happening right now, but when you're reading between the lines of Ryan Poles' comments, obviously he wants to get something done for Keenan Allen. They don't trade a fourth-round pick coming off a 7-win season for a short-term rental. They're not going to the Super Bowl next year, probably, or at least, like, you know, that let's have them get to an 8 or 9 win season before right. anybody's going, like, you know, projecting anything like that. But Keenan's 32, DJ Moore's 26. In terms of the timing, the structure, those deals are going to be different, but I would not be surprised, based on what he said, you know, certainly a deal should get done for Allen this offseason, but I wouldn't be surprised if one for DJ Moore got done first.
Courtney, there's some rule changes. A lot of people are talking about this tackling technique.
The old hip drop.
The hip drop that they can't do. But I actually think that just as important is this. Now you can review roughing the quarterback. And, like, we've all screamed at the TV on that call. But that's not a challenge. That's just a video review on ones that look borderline. Is that it?
Yeah, it's, you know how many of these we've seen where it's like, what is roughing the passer? Can you even touch the quarterback anymore? And there have been some, I remember Carmen tweeted something. It was, I think, a Patriots-Cardinals game, if I'm not mistaken. He was just like beside himself over how horrible, like whoever the defensive lineman was barely touched Mac Jones last year. I'm fairly certain I'm getting this right. He can remind me if I'm not. And it was just like such an egregious blown call. And those calls, you know, eventually it's not like guys will get fined for that if it ends up getting overturned, but it's bad for the game. It's a 15-yard penalty. And if they can try to, in the moment, rectify that, it sounds like that's the first step in all of this. And as far as the hip drop tackle, I know the player safety thing, and I remember asking Flus about this after the Mark Andrews injury. That you remember when he got hurt in that Thursday night game? Yep. I think they were playing Cincinnati. And I remember asking Flus, and I know it'll come up again tomorrow since the rule passed and we haven't talked to him yet. Like, how are you supposed to play defense? How are you? And of course, he talks about like there's zones of where you're supposed to hit a guy and to be able to wrap him up. But this hip drop tackle thing, for me, it just feels like they're making it incredibly difficult for defenders to do their job, especially in the open field when you're supposed to stop a guy and usually it's you versus them.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's going to happen now? Like, if you make contact in the wrong area, but it's, you know, if it's not textbook hip drop tackle, do you get away with it? Like, I think it's putting a lot of pressure on officials too, knowing what the technique has been for so long and knowing how now they want it to change. Like, it's just like we saw with roughing the passer, I believe it was 2018, how, remember the whole thing about like you can't put the majority of your body weight on the guy and drive him into the ground? It was the Aaron Rodgers rule when Anthony Barr broke his collarbone.
Yep.
Like, that took a lot of time to massage to make sure that they were calling it in a uniform manner. I wouldn't be surprised if the hip drop tackle ends up taking some time for guys to get used to, but also for the officials to know how to call.
First of all, if Carmen is sending out anything via social media, it's either bitching about officiating or it's a gourmet meal preparation. So my guess
is whiskey.
Or whiskey. That's a good one. That's right. Three things.
And the first one is only related to his gambling bets, you know, the officiating one.
Well, speaking of that, I was going to segue into the world of Shohei Ohtani with Courtney.
With Courtney?
Yes.
Courtney
talks about everything,
no,
Jesse. She's not just, specific to football.
I'm just curious where you're going with
it. Well, and I want to know Courtney's what Courtney thinks about A, the entire situation that has transpired, and B, maybe what you're expecting to hear or not hear when he meets the media today,
and
Courtney.
And C, we're taking bets on how long his statement will be, and I'm not kidding about that, Courtney. We've been doing that. So
minute,
how long will he go?
1 minute and 5 seconds was my choice.
What will he say? How long will he go?
All right, he's speaking through the new translator, right?
Oh, yeah, we didn't really take that into account.
No, he's reading.
But are we saying... including the translator.
We don't need to add more
rules. That's the thing. Is he reading a statement prepared in English?
Right.
Or is it going to go through? Is he going to do it in Japanese?
Okay, time out. This is how we'll do it then, because we got money on this. Because we're going to...
Just as long as he speaks.
We're dealing with a gambling problem by gambling on it. What I think we should do is we should take it and divide it by two, because he's going to read it and it's going to be then interpreted.
Right.
So then I would suggest the easy way to come to a conclusion as to how long it really lasted was to divide it by two.
Or just start and stop the timer when he's speaking in Japanese.
No, that's too hard to do.
Okay.
That's all right. So my guess is going to be 1 minute and 51 seconds.
Ooh, okay.
For the
good
statement. And if we want to divide that based on what he says, I think it'll be 151 regardless coming out of Shohei Ohtani's mouth. And maybe the translator will interject in between. I can't give you the betting lines on that are unknown. I need to ask Jesse something, though,
because
I am real twisted about this whole thing and Ipe Mizuhara being his BFF and spending more time with Shohei. I get it. Like, you're on the road with these guys. Like, the one season I covered baseball, I remember trying to talk to Johnny Cueto in the Giants locker room out at spring training, and I was trying to use my Spanish because I have a legitimate degree in it. I don't use it. I'm like, well, this would be my one time I can actually use this. And poor Johnny, like, who was coming off of a rehab stint because he got beamed in the head with a ball during some spring training game, kind of was like, oh, this poor white girl, like, cannot figure out, like, her customer's foot right now. He calls over the translator. Like, and it just seemed like, obviously the guy's in the locker room, but it seemed like, hey, this is somebody who's here to do a job. And of course, like, when they give their answer and then you get, like, you know, a truncated version of that from the translator, you're never sure. Bottom line, how rare is it that guys are best friends with their translators? Because I just think there's something super fishy about the Shohei deal and him, like, and this guy, and $4.5 million goes missing from your bank account. You don't notice. I mean, I know you have 700 coming in, but it's not coming until later. That's not adding up for me.
Well, yeah, no, it's not adding up for anyone. But to answer your question, okay, I think for the Spanish-speaking players, it's a little bit more rare because there's other Spanish-speaking players all over the place. But when you talk about Japanese-speaking players, there's might be one other teammate. Usually there isn't. So your translator is kind of your buddy because he's the only one that speaks your language. So I will say for the Japanese players, they're a little bit closer to their translators. And I guess with Ohtani, the bigger the star, the more he's a kind of a quiet, secluded guy by nature.
Okay,
so
but this is what I want
that they're that close.
What I want to know from Courtney, though. Where is your money? Your money on that this was his translator who got into trouble and Ohtani just covered his debt because they're good friends? Is your money on there was some serious theft? Or is your money on this is actually Shohei's debt and he was paying it off and
kid's taking the fall for it?
Where's your money going?
Yeah. Oh, man. Give me the first option because it does, I mean, the guy changing his story, like saying, yeah, I lied about Shohei's involvement, and then Shohei's lawyers going into CYA mode right away, like after that, something smells real bad with this. It does sound, at least just, you know, and we have not heard from Ohtani on this, so it sounds like from Mizuhara, like he's got a severe gambling problem, and Shohei was covering his debts, but then again, it's like, is that a cover story? Is he going to get paid off on this? Because if they find out, remember, like, I know Pete Rose was so long ago, but that still is such a dark cloud over baseball. And with gambling infiltrating pro sports and threatening the integrity of the game, I would imagine Major League Baseball can't take any risks here that their biggest star, this isn't some schmuck, this is Shohei Ohtani in the center of a gambling investigation. And I don't know, Jesse, if they've concluded their investigation. I feel like that's going to take a while. Like, this thing feels very much like tip of the iceberg at this point. And so my money would go towards the former, or I guess the first option that you gave me, that this is a gambling debt, that the interpreter needed Ohtani's help getting out of a hole in. But how do you, if he's really your boy, you really let him get in the hole in $4.5 million? Come on.
Like, the one I would say, like, I
1-800-GAMBLER.
Exactly.
Like,
no
very
question.
Easy number to remember.
Yeah. Or, you know what? Follow my advice and play $5 a play. Okay. The one thing that I feel most confident about, and I don't feel confident about much of all of it, is that this wasn't some sort of theft issue. Because
no.
I don't know how your friend, even if he's your bestie, is getting all your passwords and has access to your financial accounts to the tune of being able to send a wire in excess of $1 million.
And with wire transfers, if it's over a certain amount,
yes.
I believe if it's over $10,000, the bank has to, you have to
yeah.
clear it with the bank. And unless his bank is in on this too, and we're just going to bring down some financial institution for, you know, and this is my conspiracy mind going crazy on this. I'm with you. I don't think it's a set. You, how do you steal $4.5 million? I know the guy is due for $700, but that is just way too convenient of a storyline.
Courtney, thank you. Enjoy
thank
the
you,
time
Courtney.
Down there.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Okay. See ya. Poor. At least he's not some poor schmuck.
Yeah, he's not. It's a good description of him. Like,
but I'm with you. There's all sorts of red flags. Sirens would be going off.
And again,
I guess it was in 500,000 increments.
Still, I mean, this is why I'm telling you the NFL needs to use instant replay even more than they are using now. And I know that they are expanding what they're going to do, as you discussed. Because transparency has never been more important because of you. You've invited the gambling element into the game legally now, and you are benefiting from it financially. You have to make sure that your level of transparency is unlike it's ever been before.
312-332-3776 is the number if you want to sound off about any of this. We will know the answer to at least a few of these questions in about 15 minutes. Shohei Ohtani to speak at 4:45 our time. He's out in L.A. We'll carry that either live or right after he says it, and we'll have a winner of our bets.
Yes, there's $4 at stake here.
I mean, I hope we get some sort of explanation. I feel like we're going to all be
wondering. A whole bunch of nothing,
yeah,
I believe.
I have a feeling, same thing.
Speaking of a whole bunch of nothing, Waddle's World
is next. Good segue, ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie, from our State Street studio to your hellish commute home, we're there with you making it bearable. Never mind. Back to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him. And he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salts.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle, everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salts.
Oh, that is correct. Welcome into Waddle's World. It's quite odd. Charlie said some. Charlie's in the chuck wagons in today for Meller. Meller's on a ski vacation.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You like to ski?
Oh, I love to ski.
Well, you should. Yeah, Meller's got a place up in Vail. You know, ask him if you can go up there
and
borrow
a place
something.
In Vail?
Yeah.
Nobody told me.
No, I think it's in Colorado.
I think
it's
Aspen?
Breckenridge.
Breckenridge, that's right.
I broke my leg skiing in Breckenridge when I was a kid.
Why not go back and try to redeem yourself?
Yeah, I am going to get friendly with Meller. I didn't know they had any place there.
Oh, yeah. They drove. They took the family truckster that way.
They're weird. They're weird that way.
Well, no, they had too much equipment, he said.
I got you.
But the chuck wagon. Charlie's in for Meller today, and the last thing I heard him say before he was shoving Munchkins in his pie hole,
indeed,
was that Bachelor finals tonight.
Yes, sir. Nice voice crack there too. But hopefully Joey's voice doesn't crack when he gives
Charlie,
out the
that's
final.
That's what happens when you get to be my age. Your voice cracks. You know,
I
your
thought
balls
that
drop.
Happens when you're like 13.
No, your balls drop and your voice cracks at 57.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So what's happening tonight?
All right. So tonight is the final rose ceremony where Joey basically picks between the two final contestants on The Bachelor. They meet his family. They go back to his
hometown.
What's
Joey's background?
He is a tennis he's like a tennis coach. He's
dark from hair Philly. Guy, I think I saw.
Yeah, he's from Philly. He lives in Hawaii, I believe. And he plays a lot of tennis with Jesse Palmer on the show.
He does?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a preference on who he'll choose?
My prediction is that he's going to choose somebody, she'll say no, and then it's not going to... He's just not going to have anybody by the end of it.
Why? Why do you feel that way?
I just
is that
think
the way
like,
the story's gone?
I think like the during fantasy suites week, you basically get to sleep with the final three contestants.
Time out. They're sleeping with? There is sex involved in these?
Presumably, no. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that advertised?
Yeah, I mean they show like a shot of the door closing.
Yeah, but
and
that
then
doesn't necessarily mean maybe they're having a late night game of Scrabble.
Sometimes it is that. Sometimes it's not that. A lot of times when they know who they're gonna pick already going into that week, like that's the only person they sleep with. But sometimes they don't. One of the finalists who I think would probably win otherwise is not a fan of the fact that he has been dating all these women throughout the show.
Which, let me ask you a question,
which is
Jesse
the premise
Rogers.
Of the
fire
show.
Away. Fire away.
As, I don't know, are you a fan of this show?
Absolutely not.
I never have been. And as the father of a daughter,
yeah.
How would you feel about your daughter competing for the affection of a guy who's actually... As Charlie said, maybe allegedly having sex with a bunch of
ladies.
I'm
going to answer that question with a question. How do you think I'd feel?
Not good.
No.
Not good.
No.
So Charlie is two fathers of daughters. I mean.
No, hey. I,
what do you think about how we feel about it? You don't give a rat's ass, do you?
No, I mean, I think you guys are completely valid in thinking that way. The entire premise of the show is so flawed and like... A lot of times, yeah, like it is an issue for these contestants, but it's been a bigger issue this week on this season, and last week it became.
How many years is this?
God, they've been doing it probably since like 2003 at least.
Wow,
have you ever seen an episode, Tom?
No,
me neither.
Me neither.
No.
Yes. My wife actually made me watch the first episode of The Golden Bachelor. Because she wanted to see how awkward the interactions were between the guy and all of the ladies as they were getting out of the car. And that's the only I actually am not going to lie. I had to leave the room halfway through because it was just so
I'm one of these people that has never seen even a moment of a reality show.
I'm not a reality show guy.
I love
guy
reality
either.
TV.
I guess maybe The Real World way back when it was filmed like in Chicago.
Yeah.
But nothing.
Never saw an episode of Survivor ever.
But you're either a reality person or you're not. Yeah. And I am not.
And I'm not passing
judgment.
Did
you watch Jersey Shore?
Never.
I saw a couple episodes of the Jersey Shore years and years and years and
don't
years ago.
Don't they have like Love on the Spectrum? Never, 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 never.
Just saying, Tyler, is this part of your viewing?
No. I have seen it before.
You're too busy breaking down ACC tournament basketball performances.
Damn right I am.
Yeah.
Look,
well, what you're saying to ACC?
Proud to be.
Look, if Patrick Wisdom's going to be on one of the, I'm in. But
a lot of them are former athletes.
Yeah, you know, whatever. No interest.
I think Clay Harbor was on The Bachelor.
He won't get you to the TV? Hold on.
I just picked a random lad.
He's a handsome lad. Handsome lad.
Well, my problem is the obvious that it's not reality. When cameras are on, people act differently. That's not reality to me.
It's entertainment.
Now, if they have the cameras on them without them knowing it, I'm in.
I would just, listen, my kids
that
are,
illegal,
my girls are adults.
So
they're
like
not
surveillance.
Kids. Like, they're all old. Older. Like, I would just, if my daughter was like, hey, Dad, I'm going to be on The Bachelor, just me, I would say, are you sure, honey, that this is what you want to do? Because you're going to be portrayed in a manner in which...
A lot of people
I'd
just...
a little bit more forceful than that.
It is an issue now where, like, a lot of people go on just to get famous and increase their
Instagram
following.
How shallow is that?
Well, I actually respect that.
Money don't make money.
I actually sound like an ass just passing judgment on everyone right now.
I actually think I think I might respect that more than trying to find love.
Yeah. Like, that's ridiculous. Getting famous, I can understand that. You go on TV to find love. You think that's going to happen, honey? No.
You may find a pharmacy if you're not careful.
Right.
I'm just saying.
We are 4 minutes away, if he's on time, from Shohei Ohtani.
4 minutes away.
Addressing the gambling controversy.
Real quick, before we take a break, and I come back with a story that's... The fellas say it's an all-timer. I kind of agree with them. I've gotten kind of queasy in my old age. I struggle to read these. There's two of them. Charlie's got another good one about a movie. But anyway, real quick, the owners have approved the ban on the swivel hip drop tackling technique that we talked about. Giants owner John Mara has given the green light to his coach to draft quarterback. Brandon Ayuk is not available in trade, according to the 49ers. Contract talks are underway for an extension for him. Kevin O'Connell, the head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, says Justin Jefferson is in the loop on the Vikings' quarterback plans. Mike McDaniel from the Dolphins says they have an offer out to Odell Beckham Jr. And I do have NFL power rankings that we can go over.
Did the over the win totals come out too?
Tyler's going to bring that to our attention the award-winning Aki's A-list at the top
Nothing
of this
like
hour.
March power Real rankings quick, for the NFL.
Do you want to? Obviously, the all too soon. Do you want to know? Do you take a guess where the way too early power rankings have the Chicago Bears right now?
Yes, give me a guess. I'm going to say 19th.
Charlie, have you looked at this?
Well, I heard you say
okay.
where they are.
Tyler, have you heard what I had to say?
Yes, I know.
So the people that didn't hear me say it, they currently are 21st.
I was trying to keep them out of the bottom third, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Put them in the middle, bottom middle.
Well done. But, and by the way, the Bulls and Wizards played tonight, if you're interested in Bulls basketball. Still, they're three games under 500 and ensconced in the ninth seed overall. Okay, when we come back, a couple of horrifying stories. And also maybe an update on what Shohei Ohtani had to say to the media out in Los Angeles. That's next.
Waddle and Sylvie are back. Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, before we get to the salacious stories, I believe that the Ohtani press conference started on time. And I think the early takeaway is that Shohei has said he did not bet on anything, including baseball.
Yeah, and
that these are not his bets.
And we're going to play this for you in just a few moments. Basically said he was very saddened that a good friend of his did this to him. So we don't have the whole story yet. It's happening now. We will play Shohei Ohtani's comments momentarily.
Yes,
he just said eBay's been stealing money from my accounts and has told lies.
Oh, my God. So he did say it was theft. That was
See,
the thing
this
you
was least likely. To least me, it was likely. Least likely. Because I didn't think there was any way
that
somebody could have your passwords to all of your accounts and could actually have money.
So do you understand what this interpreter did, if this is true? He did this interview with ESPN. And he claimed that Shohei knew about it all.
Yeah.
Like, Shohei was going to find out.
Right.
He thought he was going to get away with that story.
It doesn't make sense to me because also, again, how in the world, even with a good friend, does he have access to your money at that level where any type of wire transfer, you would have to have all kinds of different identification and other stuff. I've done this recently for my daughter's getting married.
Just a simple, like, we're going to text your phone. You know what I mean? You get the text from the... Let alone that kind of money being wired would set off some red flags.
In my brokerage account, I actually have to acknowledge that the wire transfer information is correct before it's sent. So whoever owns the account actually has to sign off on, yes, this is the appropriate amount and it's going to the right place.
I mean, I just go back to what I said, though. He was giving interviews saying Shohei knew, as soon as Shohei heard that.
I don't know. I don't know if.
Oh, my God. All right, we're going to play the whole thing for you momentarily. What else you got, Tommy?
There's an audience outside, and I can't think I can even read the. I mean, basically, also.
Got anything you can say on the air?
By the way, before the traffic passes, this is a story that Charlie gave me a little bit earlier. Horror film Late Night with the Devil earned scary numbers on their Sunday night box office. The weekend box office got a little fright thanks to the horror film Late Night with the Devil. The film earned a total of $2.8 million overall, taking sixth place at the box office, and coincidentally earned $666,666 on Sunday. Think about that. Sign of the Devil, 666.
Big time.
The movie Late Night with the Devil earned $666,666 on Sunday. Okay, people have moved on. This was the headline of the story, which Charlie and Tyler both suggested was a Hall of Famer. Live 12-inch eel removed from Vietnamese man's abdomen after it slid up his anus.
What? This is what you found?
A Vietnamese man had a live eel surgically removed from his abdomen, and doctors believe it actually entered in the wrong spot. Not that there is a right spot. The stomach-turning discovery was made when an unidentified man who was 34 went to the medical center in his local province with severe abdomen pain. Doctors believe the sea creature entered the man's body through his backside and slid through the colon. The eel was found after doctors performed an ultrasound and an x-ray, which showed a foreign object was inside his digestive tract. It's a very rare case. Duh. Head of surgery, Pham Man Hung, told the local outlet, the rectal area has a lot of fecal fluid and it's easily infected with bacteria, but it was performed safely, so the surgery did not have any problems. The eel caused intestinal perforation and peritonitis, a condition that causes inflammation in the stomach or abdomen. The man was kept in the hospital after the surgery and reported having mild abdominal pain after waking up.
It's a Hall of Famer right there, that story. No doubt.
I mean, like, listen.
Ooh.
There are stories about, like, if you're in the ocean, even, like, if you have a suit on or whatever, yeah. You can get things
I suppose.
Find their way in spots, but I don't know.
That seems hard to do by accident.
I don't know.
Right? That seems hard to do by accident.
Why would you bring me such horribleness on a it's today Monday? On a
yes.
Monday? You bring me horribleness on a Monday.
Bevins.
How long is the
oh,
press
yeah,
conference
how long
over?
Was it going? So he has shattered our numbers.
Oh, wow. But is it because he speaks and then the interpreter speaks?
No,
it's just his stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, you cut it.
We were wrong. Is he giving a lot of detail?
To be honest, I don't know if he's reading. I think he is like
just talking off the cuff.
The interpreter is definitely not reading.
Let me ask you. Well, the interpreter is just repeating what he says, right?
You have to remember all that. Right. And if it's a prepared statement, why wouldn't you just put it in English for the interpreter to read?
Right. Is there anything that has caught your attention that you weren't expecting?
He says that he wasn't aware of any of this until a couple of days ago.
Again, have you guys ever sent a wire transfer anywhere? Again, my experience with a wire transfer, it was for tuition.
Right.
Before the wire is confirmed and sent, I actually have to go online and approve that the information is correct, the amount is correct before they will send it out.
I think I said this on another show somewhere, I think in Seattle. Like, it seems improbable, but not impossible. If this guy had all the social security numbers, everything, which he may have had.
Where did he go to the payday loan store and send 500 grand out to each day for the last 7 days?
But it's not, you would agree, it's not impossible that he could get away with it. This is a guy with maybe multiple accounts, plenty of millions.
Jess, I would.
Improbable, maybe not impossible.
Maybe not impossible, but highly improbable, I would think, based on banking rules.
I would agree. And you know what Shohei can do to back himself up on this? His attorneys should explain how he did it.
This is why I've said, Jess, I think that all of this can be either proven or disproven with some sort of digital information has to exist somewhere.
I still can't believe this guy.
So who had the low or who had the highest total?
It was Charlie.
Charlie,
no,
come get
no,
your
it was. It was. Did you say 2 minutes?
2 minutes for Charlie.
Oh,
Courtney said 151.
Courtney was 151. Yeah,
Charlie was. Courtney didn't. Put
Is he
a
still going?
He's still going.
Charlie, come get your money.
I think he's towards the end.
All right. Well, you're going to edit just the translator, right? Put it all together. All right. We'll play it probably right at 5 here. I think that makes sense.
Well, maybe it'll lead Aki's A-list. If they're not done at that point, maybe we'll talk under totals, football totals, wins.
Oh, you'll hear from Shohei Ohtani, or at least his translator, coming up in a moment. Stay tuned. This is
Either
interesting.
Either way, we're doing a gambling segment.
ESPN 1000.